For those of you who are visiting, again, welcome. We are in the middle of a kind of a four-week look at biology, belief in the Bible, looking at really the push in our culture toward modifying what is human sexuality. Last week, we looked at the physical relationship that is supposed to be between husband and wife that really anymore is up in the air as far as the world is concerned, but not as far as God is concerned, as God's word does not change, and it is a sure foundation for us, really the only foundation for us, which is why we go back to the Bible for our foundation. So today we're going to look at gender and really the gender confusion in our culture today. Am I a man or am I a woman? What am I today? And can that change tomorrow? It's an issue we can't avoid. I mean, this is not something that when I was a kid you would even consider. I mean, it was a joke on some movies or TV shows, the guy who would cross dress or end up having to hide, and so he's wearing a dress and like this, and you suspected and probably knew and understood there were folks in the culture that did this, but this was not normal. It wasn't endorsed. It wasn't encouraged. But it is saturating in the media now. On movies and television, in music. And for this reason alone, the church has to have an answer. I mean, we have to be able to speak to it because you are going to be conformed to the thinking of the world. The world is going to try to press us into its mold. If what the world is putting forth is in conformity with the Word of God, we go, great. But if it stands contrary to the Word of God, we go, whoa. I can't go there. I can't go there. So this is where Satan is attacking, and so we must be strong. We must put on the whole armor of God here in this and be wise as we examine it. As this is being pushed in the world and in culture, ultimately the Bible is being undermined. Okay, the Bible, first of all, the Bible can't be undermined. It is the inspired and inerrant Word of God. Plenary verbal inspiration. We can look in it and we can know we are reading God's Word. Not some of God's Word, not just the red letters, but this is God's Word to His people. But that authority in the minds, I mean the media, they would... They would titter at that. You guys really think that? Come on! You know, that's like Dark Ages stuff. To the media. To Hollywood. And Christians don't know where to stand with all of that. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. If there's an extra handout, would you pass it over to Ash? So how great are the numbers? How big really are the numbers? You go, wow, this must be huge if the media is making such a big deal about it. Recently, the military academies came out and stated that those graduates who are graduating transgendered may graduate, but they're not going to serve. Wow, it must be a ton of them. If they had to come out and say this, this was the U.S. Air Force Academy and the U.S. Military Academy, West Point. How many were there? two. One at each academy. There were two. The Rand Corporation, a prominent scholarly corporation on the West Coast, determined that there are 6,600 troops in the military that could be characterized as transgendered. 6,600. Of the 1.3 million, that is one half of 1%. Okay, so one half of 1% of those in the military. Well, the military is probably conservative. It's probably going to be higher in general culture. Wouldn't you think so? And it is slightly. Comes to about not quite 0.5 of 1% or 0.5 of a percent. It's 0.6. It's up to 0.6. 6/10 of 1% of the general populace. Do you think younger folks or older folks would be more affected by this whole push toward transgenderism? Yeah, and that's how it would bear out. You will find a larger number of those who would state they are transgendered in the 15 to 25 year group than in really any of the other older groups after that. Let's delineate here too as we discuss, and we'll talk about what is transgender, what is gender, what is sex here in a little bit. There are those who are truly struggling with their identity. Okay, and this is no joke. This is not snarky. This is where people go, I feel like I'm a woman, but I'm a guy. I mean, everything about femininity appeals to me as who and what I am. Okay, there are those people who really wrestle with that, their actual identity. But then there's the folks out there who, it's just autonomy. I'm going to try it all. I want to feel what it's like to be a woman today and a man this afternoon. And almost just because it offends you, I'm going to try it. I just got to feel it. I got to suck the marrow out of life. I want to touch it all. So as we talk about this, there are those kind of people, and then there are those people who are really, really wrestling with their identity. Geographically, we would expect the heartland to struggle with it less than the coasts, and that would bear out. In Iowa and North Dakota and Wyoming, you got about 0.3%. And in California, Hawaii, you've got 0.7%. But geography doesn't always bear out. Georgia is also 0.7%. New York, 0.5, about at the national average. But Texas is 0.66. Wow. So some fundamental questions as we move on. What is the relationship between biological sex and gender? Okay, so let's start with the world. What would the world say is the difference between biological sex and gender?
Today or when I graduated from college? Mm-mm.
We're actually going to get there. I got the 1980 Merriam-Webster Dictionary definition of gender here. What does the world say today is the... What is the difference between biological sex and gender? Or does the world say they're the same thing?
No correlation.
Okay, what when they're speaking of sex, biological sex, what are they talking about?
DNA level.
Yeah, what you were born. And it's interesting, they will use the term assigned at birth. You go, who assigned it?
We won't get into that.
AFBC, you know?
So it's essentially your plumbing. Okay, it's your plumbing. What is gender? Let's talk the snarky. You know, the snarky experimenter. They're gonna go, It's kind of what I choose. Mm-hmm. But the other person, the person who's struggling with it, would go, I didn't choose this. I wouldn't want this for anybody. I wouldn't want this dilemma that I'm fighting with. So you kind of see a difference there. But it's. You know, it is. It's kind of what it may be. What I choose today, it may be what I feel today. How does the Bible balance, or how? What does the Bible say about the relationship between sex and gender?
It's the same, male and female created.
There isn't one. There's not a distinction. Okay, we're going to see some things alluded to in Scripture, because that'll take us to the next question, and that is, why is the Bible silent on transgenderism? That's actually supposed to be B under subpoint 2, and I failed to put that in there. Sorry. Why is the Bible silent on transgenderism? But let me back up to kind of what Christy said. When she graduated, probably a little later than when I graduated, I have the 1980 dictionary. I pulled it out actually this morning as I was going over my notes. Gender, the definition of gender was a classification of sex, semicolon, sex. Gender and sex in 1980 were equivalent. What is sex? Sex is the property or quality by which organisms are classified according to their reproductive function. You got male plumbing, you are a male. You've got female plumbing, you are a female. You bear children, you are a female. Now, are some born with uncertainty?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Is that normal? No. No. So it's important that we not make cases about genetic abnormality a normative issue. And if we got time, we'll touch on that at the end. You know, what do you do if the hormonal, chromosomal, biological sex of the baby is indeterminate? Man, what a dilemma for a parent right there. But we may touch on that here a little bit later. But that's not what we're talking about here. Okay, and that portion of the population, again, is also very small. Why is the Bible silent on transgenderism? Is the word transgender anywhere in the Bible? No, it's a recent construct. There are some things it does say, and we'll talk about it here in a little bit. But while the Bible doesn't specifically address transgenderism, thou shalt not be a transgender individual, thou shalt not have transgender feelings or anything like that, thou shalt not live as a woman if thou art a man, it doesn't say that. Specifically, the principles about being a man and being a woman, and God created them, male and female, are replete throughout Scripture. And scientists today, you know, the ones who are such strong advocates for analyzing what really is are turning their backs
on the reality of biology and discussing transgenderism like it is a real thing based completely upon your feelings. We're going to talk about ultimately the chaos this leads to, but where scientists have no foundation, no physical foundation. They're going with complete subjectivity on the whole transgender issue. And they are swaying people by droves. If we cannot stand on God's sure foundation, we are going to get swept away. So what does the Bible say? Point three, the Bible is very clear about gender binary. Binary, let's go back to mathematics. It's ones and zeros, where that 1101 equals 13. All right? If you don't understand it, that's okay. We can talk about it later. But it's all just ones and zeros. It's ones or zeros. Binary. There are just two things. Those two things are male and female. Man and woman. God, we looked at this last week. God created them male and female. Right off the bat. Very clear. Reaffirmed throughout God's word. Jesus Christ reaffirms it. Paul reaffirms it as well. Created them male and female. The theme runs throughout Scripture. Within Scripture, we see specific roles that are binary. What roles do we see in Scripture that are binary? One or the other? Husband and wife. Very binary. It doesn't just speak of significant others. It speaks to husbands and it speaks to wives. What other gender binary roles are found in Scripture? Father and mother. If you are a male, can you get pregnant? What does the world say? Yes, the world says yes. But you go, no, this is really a woman who's grown a beard. Now, she may believe herself to be a man, but her own biology betrays her. Her biology betrays her. You are a woman. So husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, and Scripture, and we looked at this last week when we looked at the sexual relationship between a man and a woman, and what God says is good and what God says is wrong, is evil, dare I say wicked. The whole idea of gender binary is in there as well. So within Scripture, we have an idea of what's referred to as complementarianism. In the creation, in the physical relationship, we see physical properties between man and women, men and women, that complement each other. Are they the same? No. But they complement each other. And it's not merely the physical properties, but it is also the social and spiritual properties of a man and a woman. And the emotional properties that complement. The Bible does not differentiate between sex and gender anywhere. It does speak of body and soul. Some would say body, soul, and spirit. But am I a schizophrenic man in that I have an immaterial part and a material part, or am I a whole? I mean, do I have to think about what I'm going to do with my hand? Does my immaterial need to really go, oh yeah, I forgot I had that left hand, and I want to grab that Bible, so I need to slide my fingers under the Bible and use my opposable thumb to apply pressure. It's absurd. I'm a whole. I am a whole. I am created a physical being. The physical and the spiritual will be separated if what is true. Death! If I die! Okay, Elijah didn't have to deal with that. Okay? Most of the rest of us will. Unless Christ comes again. Where in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will all be changed. But our physical and spiritual, did God intend for that to happen? No. No. All part of the fall there, where man must die and this physical is separated from the spiritual, where it will one day be reunited. But the Bible speaks of us as a unity. So therefore, if I have been born a male, I am a male. Yeah, if somebody from 1970 could or 1950 could come in and sit on this class, they'd be going, this is really weird that we're even talking about this.
Don't we have somebody from 1950 teaching us this?
Dude, watch it. Watch it. Okay. Okay. Now,
don't you need help today?
Now, God's word does speak about conducting ourselves as the other sex, as a man conducting himself as a woman. Ty, would you turn to Leviticus 11? Jerry, would you turn to Leviticus 19? Okay, this is you're going to go, this has nothing to do with that. Because you're going to if you cite these verses in an argument with a non-believer, they're going to cynically throw these two babies right back in your face. Okay, because we're about to look at some verses that speak of, hey, God says, no, don't be doing this. Okay, Leviticus 11, verses 9 through 12, please.
Leviticus 11, 9 through 12. These you may eat, of all of them that are in the waters. Everything in the waters has fins and scales, whether in the seas or in the rivers, you may eat. But anything in the seas or in the rivers that has not fins and scales, of the swarming creatures in the waters and of the living creatures that are in the waters is detestable to you. You shall regard them as detestable. You shall not eat any of their flesh, and you shall detest their carcasses. Everything in the waters that has not fins and scales is detestable to you.
Anybody like lobster?
Amen.
Crab legs?
Yep.
Oysters?
No.
Yes. Yeah,
no.
Oysters, clams, steamed clams, oh, clam chowder. Man. God says, uh-uh. Aren't we past that? You know, so the things we're going to talk about here in a little bit, you know, what? You contradict God's word? You'll do this, but you won't do this? What do you... So, important. Jerry, 27 and 28 of Leviticus 19. Here's another one they'll throw in your face.
You shall not round the corners of your head, neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. Ye shall not make any cuttings on your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Do not prostitute.
That's good. That's fine. Right there. That was... The ESV will have that as tattoos. Thou shalt not tattoo thyself. Oh, you don't. The Orthodox Jew is going to have the long curly thingies on the side and the long fuzzy beard. You know, Duck Dynasty. Because God's word says, but, and so you're going to have this thrown back in your face. Like, that's the command. So how do we abide these other things? Okay, here we go. Chris, Leviticus 18. Christy, Deuteronomy 22. David, 1 Corinthians 11. Leviticus 18:22.
You shall not lie with a male as with a woman, it is an abomination.
Okay. Speaking of essentially a homosexual relationship, you shall not lie with a male as with a female. There's a distinction there. Essentially, the one male would be acting as a female, and God says, no. It is an abomination. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5.
A woman must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear women's clothing, for the Lord your God detests anyone who does this.
Pants? Okay. 1 Corinthians, we'll do 1 Corinthians 11, 14, and 15. So this was way back in the time of the law, okay, 1500 BC-ish. 14 through 15.
Does not nature itself teach you that if a man wears long hair, it's a disgrace for him, but if a woman has long hair, it is her glory? For her hair is given to her for a covering.
Okay. So Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 is speaking to hairstyles, and there is a distinction between how the men wore their hair and how the women wore their hair. In the law, in Deuteronomy, we see that there is women wear women's clothes, men wear men's clothes. Does it say thou shalt not wear pants? No, these are cultural distinctions here. Okay, for the Jew then, Jew today, Jews wear different things today. But still there is a distinction. Can I distinguish between a man and a woman? Should a dude be wearing 4-inch stilettos? No. That is a principle. We see principally within God's word that within the law and even Paul in the New Testament that men should act like men and women should act like women. Why? Because of the binary nature of the creation. 1 Corinthians 11 gets into that in greater detail. Now, this takes us to the battle that is out there right now, and it is a battle really between feeling and reality. That's point four. It's a battle between feeling and reality. We are going to likely, in our lives, either encounter people who are struggling with transgender or are snarky transgender, or we're going to come in contact with believers, those who profess to be Christians, who say, it's not a big deal. Transgenderism is okay. They're trapped inside their body. They need to live out and really self-actualize. That's the snow job that you are going to get. So, some thoughts as we go into this discussion of the battle between feeling and reality. It's important and really imperative as a believer that I do not belittle or demean somebody's feelings. That doesn't mean I'm not going to speak the truth. But I'm not just going to go, it's really, dude, you're really not. Okay, you're created a man, and so, just get over it. The dude's going to go, man, you just lost your voice with that guy. You just dismissed him outright. You had no comprehension. You didn't walk a mile in his shoes. You didn't hear what he had to say. We discussed this last week with regard to homosexual desires. That we are going to very likely in the church encounter brothers and sisters who struggle with this. And we'll talk about where this comes from here. Okay, right now. Where does this come from? The fall. Why? How is it that a child could be born where their sex is indeterminate? Why does any malformation happen? Because sin entered the world. We understand that, we comprehend that with regard to our physical being. Do you have any indication that that's true in the spiritual realm as well? Any biblical authority that we are born spiritually malformed?
They have to fight against their own flesh even when they're forsaken.
Yeah, let's go back to David in Psalm 55. Thank you. In sin my mother conceived me. Psalm 51. Thank you. In Psalm 51, in sin my mother conceived me. I am conceived in sin. We see that from Adam in Romans chapter 4, that by one man sin entered the world. And it is essentially passed down from Adam. We are broken genetically and we are broken spiritually. We come out of the womb, actually at conception, that baby, one cell dividing into two, needs redemption. Right then and there. It is condemned. It is conceived with a sentence of death. So, we tend to look at, I struggle with gossip. Great. And that's kind of a respectable sin, and we all go, but to struggle with my identity, I struggle with feeling like I'm a woman. Nothing to do with you, dude. Oh, man. That's tragic. That is tragic. Now, the world is fighting against the design. The world is fighting against the design. They call gender a social construct. And they are trying to tear down this social construct. What are they trying to tear down? Your identity. And here's what they will say. This is from an article. Gender is defined by the World Health Organization as the socially constructed roles, behaviors, and activities attributes that a given society considers appropriate for men and women. Socially constructed roles for men and women. We just came up with them. Never mind that men are a whole lot stronger and women bear babies. They will say we all have different feelings and society is making us conform. Why do they want to eradicate gender? Because personal autonomy, individual autonomy, has become the greatest good. You are God. Another quote from that same article. Even if brain differences between the sexes do exist, okay, it's like they're conceding biology here, and they'll say the evidence is extremely contentious. Such findings don't legitimize the construction of an all-encompassing social gender. Worse still, by applying these statistical findings to our conversations about gender, we curtail freedom and liberation in favor of a perverse form of genetic determinism. We curtail freedom and liberation. It's like we're stopping you from being free. Why? By telling you you're a man and you're a woman. Bottom line, I want to be free to determine what I can do. Don't constrain me to having children just because I have a womb. I want to be a man. I want to do everything a man can do. I want to be a SEAL. Good luck. I am my God. So we go, oh, man. And this insanity is fleshing itself out in all kinds of weird ways. In athletics, how many women play professional basketball for the San Antonio Spurs?
None.
New York Knicks? Any women in the NBA at all?
There's the coach for the Spurs.
Okay, coach. Why not? They can't compete. They can't compete. So what have they done? There's a women's league. How many guys in the women's league?
Zero.
None. Why?
This is
yeah, they would dominate. That wouldn't be fair. Okay.
They're running inside now. I see stuff all the time. Like.
So there's a... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say there's the transgender is where... I think it was a high school track meet where a boy identified as a girl and went to the girls' state finals and dominated them.
Wrestling.
And people, well, there was wrestling, it was also track.
Okay.
And where they were, and their parents were upset. You know, and then even in the Olympics we saw, now she, I think she actually had a true,
mm-hmm.
we talked about genetic.
Right, right.
Where she was, like she looked like a man. I mean, she had this musculature
yeah.
of a man. But she was a female.
She
just had elevated
genetically testosterone. A female.
And she
yep.
dominated her event.
Yeah.
But I
mean, yeah, I actually had that as a case. A young lady who felt she was a boy started doing testosterone to become a boy. Gender reassignment. Gender mutilation, really. So she's taking testosterone, but Texas goes, you're a girl. So they went, okay, so she wanted to compete. She wanted to compete as a boy in boys wrestling. They went, no, you're going to compete as a girl. Well, she's been taking testosterone. You know what that makes a girl? Stronger. And she waxed all the other girls. Really, no surprise. Which is why you're not supposed to do steroids and hormones as a professional baseball player because football gives you an advantage. What about awards? Best female actress or actor. Can't even say actress anymore. Best female actor, best male actor. Why do they have... Yeah, well, I mean, we have those awards.
Yeah,
an Oscar for the best male, Oscar for the best female. Why do we have those awards?
We do different roles.
Yeah, but also to just to recognize women early on, because the men would have dominated. Because the women would tend to have bit parts and the men would dominate. And so, you know, there's male roles and female roles, and usually there's a male lead and a female lead. So let's make a category for both. Oh, we got more awards. But what?
Even that they're trying to get rid of.
Yes.
Emma Watson just won the first gender neutral award with MTV.
And you go, well, you just cut the awards in half. How, is that going to make people happy? No. You know, and what did she win for?
A female role, Beauty and the Beast.
How female's Belle?
Female.
Pretty female. Now, what if a guy had played that role?
That movie would have bombed.
That gets into a whole other situation. Equal pay for equal work. Good thing, bad thing. That's a good thing. You go, really? How can there be unequal pay for... You're doing the same job, you should get the same pay. I mean, that would make sense. Why does an NBA player get paid a whole bucket full more money than a WNBA player? Aren't they doing the same thing? Yes, that's what drives it. Now, who's going to bring in the money? I mean, you'll never see the crowd panned at a WNBA game. Just not that many there. And this has led to chaos. The world wants gender equality for males and females, but then they don't want gender. That the NCAA would boycott North Carolina from hosting NBA or NCAA basketball tournaments because North Carolina passed a law that you would use the bathroom of your birth gender. The NCAA said, because you are discriminating, we are not going to have tournaments in your state. The NCAA, who has men's basketball and women's basketball and men's track and field and women's track and field and all the way down you go. You discriminate. Does that make does that make any sense? What's your pronoun today? In college campuses, there are handbooks on how to ask somebody what their pronoun is today. How shall I address you today, Sarah? A he or a she or a ze? I mean, they're making up pronouns. They are making up pronouns. Z E X E X I J Z. Language has become meaningless. Pronouns.
Well, they don't want the professor to get in trouble for offending a student, so they're just going to make it a gender-neutral one for anybody.
I'm not even going to call on you.
Everyone's
name's going to... Dude, I'm just going to lecture you, and you can all get out of here if I don't...
Yeah, do they label those people who prefer to be referred to as some kind of alternative pronoun?
Yeah, well here's the insanity of that. Because of the snarky transgenderism, it is fluid. Well, I don't feel like a girl today. Now I'm back to being a boy. And if you call me she, I'm going to be offended. I mean, that's insane.
The military. Right now, Jerry and I both... got passed, and I would be happy to email this to you, a 20-slide PowerPoint presentation on how we are to handle gender in the military. You know, gender in the military is what you identify as. Your gender
though, will not change, and you will be addressed as a man until in your records your gender is changed. Your gender in your records cannot change until you go through medical reassignment and the doctor says you have completed medical reassignment. Now you can apply through your commander to now be a woman, Chris. And then and only then can you be a woman unless you get a special waiver. And you know what? The world is going to go bananas at that because it's supposed to be fluid. Why does he have to alter his biology to alter his gender? What's a believer to do next week? Next week we're going to talk about what do we do in a world that really hates salt and light? What are we supposed to do with this? So we will talk about being a believer in this kind of milk bowl. Any thoughts or comments?